Harper Audio presents Vampire Kisses 8, Cryptic Cravings, by Ellen Schreiber, performed by Devin Sorvery. Rumors are spreading that there are vampires living in Dullsville. Becky Miller. Chapter 1. Blood Exchange. I had to admit it. Dullsville was no longer dull. In fact, for me, Raven Madison, the morbidly monotonous town I'd grown up in, had finally become the most exciting place on Earth. Not only was I madly in love with my vampire boyfriend, Alexander Sterling, but I'd witnessed for the first time in my vampire-obsessed existence an actual vampire bite. The only problem was that it wasn't my neck being bitten. This wouldn't have been such a tragedy for me if the recipient of the bite had been Onyx or Scarlet, the super fabulous underworldly friends I'd met at the Coffin Club. But the bite was given to my own vampire adversary, a real vampire and gothic beauty, Luna Maxwell. I'd been waiting almost a year to be bitten, since I'd met Alexander, not to mention my entire life of immortal dreaming. But for Luna, it happened within hours of meeting another vampire. That night, on Alexander's lawn, there had been an amazing group of partygoers, a handful of vampires mixing with the mortal local students. It was something I'd never thought would happen. While playing Spin the Bloody Bottle, Luna and Sebastian, Alexander's handsome and hapless best friend, had locked eyes and gone in for more than a juicy lip lock. His fangs pierced the soft flesh of her swan-like neck. Luna had stared up at me, her eyes dreamy, as if she were some hippie tripping at Woodstock. She glowed even more radiantly than she normally did as a morbid fairy girl fashionista. Most of the partiers missed the action, but those who saw the bite passed it off as a macabre prank. Sebastian had since moved out of the mansion, and the rest of the vampires were perhaps back in Romania, or haunting the Coffin Club several towns away in Hipsterville. We hadn't gotten word of their whereabouts, and I hadn't seen any signs of them at Dullsville's cemetery. For the week following the love bite, I tried my best to get Alexander's mind off his disappointment. He was suffering because his best friend's impulsive behavior had put not only himself and Luna, but even Alexander's secret in possible jeopardy. Happily, tonight Alexander was finally obliging. We were lying in the grass on a hilltop that overlooked Dullsville. From there, we were able to see the glamorous sights of Hipsterville, such as the graveyard. But I didn't notice them, because I was lost in Alexander's lips. I hadn't broached the tender subject of receiving my own love bite with Alexander in a while. But I saw this evening, alone with him and without distractions, as my chance for another try. Fiddling with a link chain hanging from his black leather belt, I asked, "Do you think it's easier for Sebastian to fall for a girl and to take her blood?" Alexander furrowed his brow. "Or was it easy to do what he did at the party," I continued, "because Luna is already a vampire?" "I can't speak for someone else, but I want to know what you think." Alexander paused. "Then, yes, I think it's easier for him. He's very impulsive." His tone was clear and matter-of-fact. I sighed. Alexander reached for me and guided my hair back from my face with his fingers. "It means more to me than that," he said directly. "Me too," I said, touching his shoulder. "But what if I were already a vampire?" I asked thoughtfully. "What if someone else turns me? Not on sacred ground, so I won't be bonded to them forever, but..." Alexander withdrew his arm. "That's what you want?" he asked, his voice almost cracking. "To be turned? by anyone, Sebastian or Jagger. I was just thinking out loud, I quickly refuted. I didn't realize I'd hurt him. It would be that easy to have someone turn you, just like that. When Alexander posed it to me like that, my fantastical solution didn't seem so romantic or practical in its reality.